This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to Evolutionary Collective Conversations with Patricia Albert. The next evolutionary leap for humanity is a critical shift from individual to global consciousness. This higher level of development takes us beyond our individual self-concern into expanding capacities for unity, interconnectedness, evolutionary relating, and collective intelligence. Contemporary spiritual teacher and visionary Patricia Albert engages deep and probing dialogues with frontline luminaries shaping the next wave of conscious evolution. Please welcome Patricia Albert.
Hi, everyone. It's Patricia, and welcome to today's show. The topic is Weevolution, Unleashing the Transformative Power of Relatedness. And we're going to do it a little bit differently today. That's actually the proposed title for the book that I'm working on with Ellen Daly, who is going to be interviewing me. And Ellen is a publishing consultant and writer who founded Co-Creative Writing. And her job is she helps authors, like myself, navigate the journey from inspiration to publication. She combines a writer's sensitivity with an editor's business sense, and she collaborates with thought leaders to creatively develop their messages and brands. She's brilliant. My experience, you know, and having worked with, you know, a lot of people in my life, she has this incredible ability to really tune into exactly who's there and to bring out your creativity and to give it life and shape and to really make something happen that I know that I know I wouldn't make happen by myself. So she's here in Santa Fe with me. We've been working on the book. And it's a perfect opportunity to talk about it. We've been writing about it. And I'm also going to be launching a course, an online course called Weevolution, starting in May. So the whole thing sort of converged into a perfect place. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, Patricia. It's great to be here. Hello, everybody.
So what we're going to do is, you know, just she's going to ask me questions and I'll talk. And if any of you have questions, please feel free to call into the station and we will be happy to interact with you as well.
All right. So I thought of a few things that I thought would be great to discuss together. Some of these are questions we've been talking about in the process of starting to write this book. But I thought a good place to start might be just to ask you to speak a little about what inspired you to embark on the journey of writing this book, you know, and the course as well that you're going to be teaching. But where does this work come from?
Okay. 6 years ago, I mean, I thought of writing elements of my personal story in being, you know, as many of the listeners have already are aware of, you know, of falling in love with the mystic and having a very profound unitive experience with him and awakening. So the personal story, you know, I had thought of writing before, but 6 years ago, when it became clear that the new edge of consciousness was actually about a kind of relating, then it started to come together as I was doing the work with groups. So the idea of actually writing a book, because I'd never wanted to write a book particularly before, because it's a big deal as we're in the middle of, it's a very big deal. And, you know, and I love teaching and I love speaking and, you know, part of what I appreciate so much about you is that, you know, it's a different realm of mastery. Writing a book is a whole different world than teaching and working with people or getting up in front of people and speaking. So, it became compelling. It felt like now, this message, because there's something happening, there's an emergence on the planet at this point, that it felt like it was important enough to start to put together a book.
Mm. When you say that the edge of consciousness, this emerging edge, is this new kind of relatedness, can you say more about what that is and why you describe it as the edge?
Well, having been around 42 years ago, you know, when it felt like at least for me, the transformational kind of personal development consciousness was coming online. And people were just beginning to like go to Esalen or, you know, in America, at least in the West, you know, I can't speak of the rest of the world, but people were starting to want to awaken. They wanted to find something beyond just the normal ways that we live, and they wanted to develop themselves. So that was super exciting, and it was happening 4 years ago. Now, you know, the world is filled, thank goodness, you know, with lots and lots of courses and books and opportunities for people to become more awake and aware of who they are and to truly awaken, you know, to go to a realized state. So that isn't new. You know, I mean, that has been fulfilling the paradigm that was started a long time ago. And about a little more than 6 years ago, I'd say about 8.5 years ago, I just felt, you know, I've been teaching and working with people and working with groups, and it just felt like, okay, you know, where is it? You know, I was kind of getting bored, to be really honest. And I just felt like, where is it? You know, is there another... is this it? You know, is there some new place that human beings can go? And having had the experience with Peter of having a dual awakening, I knew that something could happen between two people. And then I started thinking, well, maybe there's something that could happen with more of us if we weren't coming together to do work personally on ourselves or even to meditate together to become enlightened. It was something that maybe we could come together and make ourselves available for a new kind of consciousness that's only going to happen if you have enough people turned towards it in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And that got me really excited. And I started talking about it and nobody really understood. And then, you know, different things, of course, were coming through the ethers, you know, to the various people. And, you know, Lynn McTaggart wrote The Bond, which is sort of the scientific backup for this conversation. Your wonderful husband, Carter Phipps, wrote, you know, has written a beautiful book called Evolutionaries, which is about this particular worldview. And so I felt like the relational piece is the space between people is not awake. You can have two very awake people and somehow you still, you know, there's still a certain level of competition or judgment or something, you know, there's something that happens when the two awake people start to talk or start to relate that isn't always an awakening.
Mm-hmm. So when you use the phrase dual awakening, what is it about that that's different than two people awakening?
Well, mostly, I mean, in my experience, just, you know, for the last 40 years, because that's the amount of time I've been paying attention, is the work of awakening and becoming freer and freer and ultimately free from the constraints of the ego. The work is to meditate and you work on yourself. And almost everything, even if people want to have, you know, a more improved life and they want to make things happen, you know, I mean, you work on yourself. And so if I become awakened and I've worked on myself and you become awakened, you've worked on yourself, then we've done it separately. That's not a dual awakening, even mm-hmm. though there's two of us. Mm-hmm. A dual awakening is when you have two people where you're turned towards each other and you're turned towards each other in a particular way with a certain kind of, you know, we can talk about that, but a certain way. Mm-hmm. And then you actually, because you're relating in that way, awakening starts to happen. So mm-hmm. you can have two people that are not an enlightened master and a student, which is usually, you know, where the kind of transmission happens, where one awakens, but you have two people that are open in a particular way, and then an awakening begins to happen between two people that aren't enlightened to begin with.
Right. That's fascinating. So,
yeah.
So then where is the awakening happening? Is it, are the individuals becoming more awake, or mm-hmm. is it something else that's...
It's both. It's, the awakening is actually happening in the space between, mm-hmm. and it awakens both people as well. Mm-hmm. But there's something about when you have that initially, like when you're together, there's an awakeness. I mean, you can be in altered states kind of instantly, mm-hmm. and higher states of consciousness. Once you've developed a certain way of being with one another, that just happens automatically. You know, just like when someone's awake,
they're awake. Mm-hmm. You know, they may not be awake 24/7, but you know, they're awake more generally. And there's an intensity, just like when someone awakens individually, there's usually something that takes you over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some process or some kind of a, you know, people have shared different ways, you know, Sufis or different people have said, you know, the burning and the, you know, there's like a thing that's actually happening that you physically feel, that you energetically feel, that you can't escape from at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing happens, can happen between mm-hmm. two people where something is ignited and it won't shut off. Mm-hmm. And it burns through, you know, your defenses, your, all the layers of being separate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I call a dual awakening.
That's great.
Yeah.
And I wanted to pick up on what you were saying about this, the space between, because I think that's such an important concept in your work and in a lot of the work of people who are sort of talking about creating a culture around these, this evolutionary worldview,
yeah.
the work you're doing with the collective, this idea of the space between having its own reality,
mm-hmm.
that there is something that's not just inside you or inside me, but actually exists between us.
Right.
But it's invisible. It's an internal space. It's not the physical world that sits between us. It's the inside of our relationship.
Right.
But it's not
right.
just the space inside you plus the space inside me. It has a reality of its own that exists between us. And
right.
we can tune into that. We can start to be aware of the qualities of it
mm-hmm.
and start to work with it and develop it and develop different qualities.
Right.
I think that idea is really important. And I wonder if you could say a little bit more about sort of what are the qualities that start to emerge in that space when people are relating in the way that you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, just to say too, just the fact that it's being paid attention to
mm.
is this huge start. You know, I
right.
mean, and what I notice mostly about it is because there's a readiness, you know, I'm sure human beings have had those kinds of awakenings, you know, previously on the planet, but there's a readiness for many of us. And so just by, first of all, turning towards and paying attention to that there actually is a space between,
mm-hmm.
It seems to be very ready to give itself to us, you know,
mm-hmm.
to show us how to engage with it more fully.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, like, say it again.
So I was curious about sort of what are the qualities
oh, the
that
qualities,
you start to
okay.
tune into? Because sometimes we can, you know, it's a funny thing with this space between, on the one hand, like you say, we're not aware of it very much, or we're not conscious of it.
Right.
But on the other hand, we're very aware of it. You know, we may not bring it to that level of consciousness, but if we walk into, say, a company or even into another country where the culture is different, we start to experience mm-hmm. these different currents, like meet different qualities. We'll experience,
right.
oh, this place has a weird culture, this place. And it's not just external things we're mm-hmm. seeing. We're very tuned into that. We're tuned into it with families, with relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we don't usually have a name for it. We don't usually name it and describe
right.
it as the space between us. So, but we all are swimming in that all the time and we're affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we start to become conscious of it, we can start to see, oh, this relationship has certain qualities, or this group of people has certain qualities to their intersubjective space, to that
right.
space between. So I was curious what qualities you start to become conscious of in this new kind of relatedness.
Mm-hmm.
What qualities does that space between us start to take on?
Well, this is, I mean, one thing that you're saying is becoming sensitive to and aware of the different spaces you run into.
Mm.
And when you're relating to somebody, instead of paying as much attention to who are they, but what's actually happening between
mm-hmm.
you is obviously one kind of sensitivity.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about specifically in the Weevolution and in the way that we work in the Evolutionary Collective is it's mutual. So it's a mutual two people turning towards and consciously creating the space between and being sensitive to it and reading it. You know, I mean, like one of the things, one of the exercises that we do is you go, what are we experiencing? And then you let the we speak. So it isn't like, what do I think we are experiencing? It's what is the we experiencing? And by just having to give voice to it and letting it have your voice, it actually starts to describe in that particular moment, what's actually occurring.
Mm-hmm.
And as the two people get more, you know, it's like meditating, you get better at it. You can actually feel it creating and, you know, different elements and qualities. And, you know, there's light, or all of a sudden it feels very vivid, or it feels murky. And then you can sort of discover what the murkiness is. And, you know, you become aware of what's actually occurring. And that's a two people examining something. You could do the same thing with a group.
Mm.
But it's not, there's two different kinds of we spaces as far as, you know, I'm concerned, is two different access points. I mean, one is to go into a space that's more impersonal. And so you can have a whole group kind of tuning in and allowing yourself just like to give voice to something.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing what occurs in this collective space. The other way is, which I find really fascinating, which I was learned more with Peter, was that there was a precision. You know, Andrew Cullen, who's your teacher and who's an amazing innovator in this area, talks about perfect relating. And in perfect relating, in my experience, there's a, if you get very attuned to exactly the particular connection that's there, the particularity of that moment and that essence of that person and yourself, it's like a door opens, you know, something opens and you're in a different state of consciousness and awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And the more precise it is, the more powerful the opening,
mm-hmm.
which is curious.
Can you say more about how you get there? Like when you talk about that, the individuals giving voice to the we space, like
yeah.
How do you access that? How do you know that it is the we, your voice?
That you're in. Well, actually, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're just take a really short break, and then we'll talk about, you know, like how you actually do that powerfully and precisely right after the break. So we'll be back. It's Patricia, and we're speaking about Weevolution, unleashing the transformative power of relatedness. And we'll be back after the break.
At the leading edge of consciousness, an extraordinary feel of relatedness is emerging between people who are committed to coming together to discover new dimensions of love and creativity. Patricia Albert and Jeff Herrera lead Evolutionary Collective Orientation Intensives to bring people into the experience of this field of relatedness. Over the next few months, Patricia and Jeff will be leading live 3-day intensives in Los Angeles, New York, Santa Fe, and Europe. For more information about this unique opportunity, go to www.evolutionarycollective.com.
Something huge is happening. Over the past decade, spiritual teachers and visionaries have noticed that a new kind of consciousness is beginning to open. It's a level of consciousness, a 21st century awakening that only emerges through a new kind of relatedness. The Evolutionary Collective has been at the forefront of this emergence since the beginning. Patricia Albert invites you to go to www.evolutionarycollective.com to receive a free audio download and find out more. That's www.evolutionarycollective.com.
Hi, it's Patricia Albert, and I'm here with Ellen Daly, and we are speaking about Weevolution, unleashing the transformative power of relatedness. And just before the break, she asked me about, like, how do you begin to access that, the space between,
yeah.
You know, this sort of new awakened way of being with one another. And one of the most powerful exercises, I mean, it was never intended to be, you know, but as all things, I think the most simple practices are usually the most powerful, and then they take time to learn how to do well. And one of the exercises that we do consistently and has just taken people into amazing places is the first thing is saying, what are, like, if you and I were doing the exercise, I would, first of all, my job, you know, if you're talking, my job is actually equally as important, which is to be completely with you and to intend to be so utterly with you that I'm like reading you from the inside. So that sense of this subjective that I actually, you know, people that are psychic supposedly, you know, like have that experience, but all human beings can actually experience the other person's subjective experience fully if they're open to it and they begin to discover that they can. So when I ask you the question, what are you experiencing? I'm as open and as, telepathically empathetic as possible. And your job is just to become like kind of open up as many channels as possible to sensing into what are you experiencing right now. And to have no judgment. It's like meditation. No, you know, you're not trying to get somewhere or do anything. And then to follow exactly what's there. And somehow, as you practice that, you become more intimate and attuned to the exactness of the moment and the exactness of you in this moment. And I'm with you. And you do that for like 10 or 15 minutes, which is a pretty long time to do that practice. And then you switch it over and you ask me. And so we're already in a place of resonance and being as, you know, people begin to experience pretty quickly that they can feel what the other person's going to say even before they say it. And you start to feel the whole space dimensionalized. You know, you start to feel different things and it doesn't matter. I mean, one of the things I ask people is don't even worry about the you that you think you are answering because you don't know what's going to answer. And then after that, we do another 10 or 15 minutes of what are we experiencing? And then you're looping back and forth and just attuning to what's there, what's there, what's there. And it sounds like super simple and, you know, sort of idiotically simple, but somehow the depth and the kind of awareness that starts to develop through that is amazing. And there are other things you can do once those skills are developed. There's other ways of working with that that also open up the space of what of being aware of the intersubjective field.
So if people are interested in like starting to tap into that field and, and work with that field, is this something you can do in any relationship you have? I mean, where would people start if they, because you know, you as an individual might be listening to this and thinking, oh, I'm interested in that. But of course, what you're describing has happened with another person. So, so where do people start if they want to, if they want to discover this potential? How can we do that?
Well, I mean, obviously just to open it up. I mean, if you just have a willing partner, you could just do the exercise, as I said, and something would definitely at least begin, you know, you'd see how successful you were once you started. And people do, you know, workshops with various kinds of exercises where people are just at least beginning to explore this space between what I, you know, given the way as a teacher, you know, I see more dimensions of what needs to be worked with, discovered, you know, where you need to turn towards in order to have something really happen, like in a big way. So it isn't just like an interesting experience that you had once. And in the experience that I had with Peter, what I realized much later was that there was a way that we were turned towards each other that activated the potentials in our relationship. It wasn't just doing an exercise like that. So there was like a way of mutually turning to each other and being really like one of the evolution mutuality qualities, which is going to be in the book and is also in the course, has to do with a mutual commitment to the truth And, you know, if you think about it, most relationships are, you know, maybe they are, you know, I mean, really being interested in what is the truth exactly about what is happening between us and being curious about it and open, not moral. You know, it isn't a moralistic thing. It's more, can we stay as real as possible and be really curious about what's happening, whatever it is, even if it's something that seems, you know, like there's a deadness in the relationship, that you'd be curious about that just as equally as something joyful. And so that way of turning towards each other will activate this kind of potential awakening in a relationship. That's like one thing. So, you know, there's things to learn and there's things to take on if you're serious about wanting to discover like a whole new way of being with another person, or obviously with, you know, more than one person.
Mm-hmm. So with that kind of, the need for that kind of commitment, do you see this mostly showing up between people who have a committed relationship already, like a marriage or a serious long-term partnership, or is this something that can be
developed,
experience and develop in other kinds of relationships?
Definitely in other kinds. Mm-hmm. It's when you realize what the different distinctions are, and also that it's a willingness to awaken. I mean, so you have, you know, it isn't like you're going to do this with somebody that you're just working with and you're just trying to accomplish something together and they have no interest in, you know, spirituality or any kind of higher consciousness. This is for higher consciousness, for sure. But it could be a girlfriend. It could be, you know, someone, you know, I have this with a woman that I've known. She's a teacher, you know, she teaches in Europe, and we just have this kind of a committed relationship, and we have for more than 20 years, and it's incredible. I mean, it's there's a quality of the beloved in it. So even if it's not a lover thing, but it's like there's a closeness and there's a sacred bond that's actually that presences itself, even if you didn't feel that before. Mm-hmm. You know, you're taken into a place with each other where you see the depth and the real essence of the other person, and that essence starts to be called forth. And so you can't help but fall in love. You know, I mean, it's like when you see the depth of who someone is and you're both becoming more and more of that together, there's a kind of love that arises that you can't stop. Mm-hmm. So
That strikes me as being quite a rare thing, that people have that kind of a relationship with that much depth of commitment and love, mm-hmm. that isn't their romantic relationship,
right.
Or maybe a close family relationship, but that to create a relationship that intentionally, mm-hmm. and to work on it in that way,
yeah,
that is not one of those kinds of relationships, I think is unusual.
It is. It's unusual, but it's so needed. You know, I mean, I think if most people, if you interviewed, you know, you went out on the street, or even in most spiritual communities, you know, people have done a lot of work and they're genuine and they're, you know, working hard. You know, how lonely are we still? Mm. You know, there's a longing. You know, there was a man who was in the 3-day that Jeff Carrera, who co-teaches with me, and I did last weekend, and he was just this beautiful man, you know, very religious. He's Jewish and, you know, very committed to his religion and just a cool guy. And he could just tell he was like, he was longing for something, a certain level of love and connectedness that's sacred. Like you're looking for home, you know, like he was looking for Jerusalem. You know, I mean, it was like, you know, there's that feeling of like, where's the promised land? And I know that I think all of us, no matter how lovely our lives are and how, you know, relatively awake we are, there's a longing for each other, but not just any old way. There's a longing for a way of being with each other and then creating together and, you know, making this world, you know, like a more beautiful place that I don't think we're even close. I don't think that's done. I think we're ready to really begin to have a unity consciousness, to have some new way of being with each other.
I think that connects very much to why you call this an evolutionary relationship. You know, this kind of relating. You've described it as being evolutionary. The book is called Weevolution.
Weevolution.
Can you say a bit more about why you feel we're ready, why you feel like now is the time for this? Because it seems like there may have been, you know, rare individuals or rare couples or groups that have tasted things like this. But your feeling is that this is really something that the time is ripe for.
Yeah.
And can you say more about what it is?
I really, really do. I feel very positive about that. Well, I mean, one element of it, I mean, for me, it's usually more intuitive. And then I gather evidence where I was like, oh, that's why it feels like that. You know, one thing I can highly recommend is your husband's book, which really explains from a worldview standpoint that there is actually a new development of awakening. And part of it is the fact that we're aware of the fact that the evolutionary force is actually moving through time and space, that we are that force and that things are changing continuously, and that we can be at the leading edge of that force is part of what this is. You know, when you start to have an evolutionary relationship, you experience being on the edge with each other of something that keeps arising and discovering. It's like, I mean, it feels like a volcano of energy and love and intentionality and awakening, you know, that you start to ride, that you start to let express in and through you. And that feels extremely evolutionary. Plus it's exciting and fun and, you know, and useful. So this sense of evolution, the other thing is that, you know, from a developmental standpoint as a teacher, I mean, you can see that individually we have begun to really develop. We've begun to develop, I think, our sense of individuality. I mean, highly, you know, in a way that never before in the history of the earth, you know, have we become so individuated and so capable and so free also, you know, that we can do what we want and go where we want to go and study the things and everything's on the internet. And it's just like insanely abundant. And so now, of course, the next thing would be not more of the same, but then the next stage in evolution is then how do we come together really newly, you know, not like when we were serfs, you know, or peasants, you know, tilling the fields, having no sense of individuality whatsoever, but there's a different possibility now. And one of the things that I've also seen in the Evolutionary Collective, the more we've worked this way and the people have been, you know, deeply engaged in this awakening. The interesting thing is the more you awaken to this space between and you become more aware and the whole thing is you become more distinct. So you don't become less distinct. You become more acutely who you are with your, I've noticed people can't compromise as much. You know, there's this innate sense of alignment. You know, where you can't just like do some job or, you know, make money or, you know, be in some relationship that isn't correct. I mean, you actually can't compromise because you feel the palpable distinctness of who you are and why you're here. And that to be something other than who you are would be out of integrity.
So how is that type of distinctness that you're seeing in this work different from the kind of individuality that people have been developing, as you said, for especially the last few decades? I mean, you were involved much in that self-transformation work, you know, that work that was all about the full expression of our individuality, in a sense, and developing and growing ourselves. How is what you're seeing now different?
It's different. It's a further development. I mean, actually, there's a surrender. So it's like you've developed yourself, just like anybody who's masterful at something. You work and work and work and you get your craft. You know, if you're a brilliant dancer, you learn how to do this thing and that thing and the other thing. And, you know, you finally know how to dance. And eventually you have to let go and you have to be danced. And so, and when you're danced is when the absolute distinctness, I mean, the exquisite, like only you move that way. And so I feel like in the last 40 years, a lot of people have done, you know, a pretty good job of handling and letting go and, you know, I mean, developing a lot. But then you have to let go and let it be in service of something greater. Otherwise, it just becomes a narcissistic swamp. And it kind of turns back on itself. it seems like people not only stop progressing, but they start going a little bit backwards.
Mm-hmm. So is there some way in which you feel people have to be willing to let go of that individuality?
Totally.
Before they can discover this higher level you're talking about?
Well, they have to be willing to keep growing. Mm-hmm. And that's always a risk, because you kind of get your turf. There's a certain amount of the individual work that we've done. I know even for me, there's a certain amount of freedom and I can do what I want. And then you're like, but if I open more and I let go, am I going to get taken over, by some passionate need to do something, which I have been, and and it does, it took away a certain amount of freedom and the rest of it, but it's a greater joy. And so, there's always a sacrifice. I don't think you can get through life without, the next risk and the next potential sacrifice, but when you get through it, it's for something greater. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take one more break. It's Patricia Albert and I'm here with Ellen Daly, and we will be back in a few moments.
At the leading edge of consciousness, an extraordinary feel of relatedness is emerging between people who are committed to coming together to discover new dimensions of love and creativity. Patricia Albert and Jeff Carrera lead Evolutionary Collective Orientation Intensives to bring people into the experience of this field of relatedness. Over the next few months, Patricia and Jeff will be leading live 3-day intensives in Los Angeles, New York, Santa Fe, and Europe. For more information about this unique opportunity, go to www.evolutionarycollective.com.
Something huge is happening. Over the past decade, spiritual teachers and visionaries have noticed that a new kind of consciousness is beginning to open. It's a level of consciousness, a 21st century awakening that only emerges through a new kind of relatedness. The Evolutionary Collective has been at the forefront of this emergence since the beginning. Patricia Albert invites you to go to www.evolutionarycollective.com to receive a free audio download and find out more. That's www.evolutionarycollective.com.
Hi, everyone. It's Patricia Albert and Ellen Daly, and we're speaking about Weevolution, unleashing the transformative power of relatedness.
All right. So we've covered a lot of territory here, but I was thinking it might be good just to sort of bring some of this down to earth a little by just talking more about some of the different examples of how this has shown up, these evolutionary relationships, because your own story, which I think you shared with listeners, is how it showed up in your love affair as a young woman. But as you've been saying, this kind of relationship is not limited to that type of partnership. Yeah. It can be found in all kinds of different relationships. And I think it'd be helpful just to share some examples of how you've seen that in the people you've worked with or in your own life.
Sure. Well, interestingly, with Jeff Carrera, who is the head of education for Enlightened Next and who's we've been teaching together for the last 2 years almost, as two teachers, we have a profound evolutionary relationship, which has been extraordinary. So, the way I see it is that each two people, just like if you have two of anything, they create two different colors, creates a different third color. And the distinctness of people, there are different potentials and there are different possibilities in each relationship. And you don't have anything to say about that. It's like the two colors, if you have red and blue, it just is going to make purple and you can't turn that into green. So when you work this way, when you learn how to create these kind of relationships, what happens is that what you're curious about is what is the actual potential and what's the sort of dharma, what not only just what is the potential just for the hell of it, but what is the potential for life that you are together? And every two people, you know, some people you don't have much of a connection with and you're not supposed to, you know, even though you can love everybody, you know, you're not supposed to necessarily have a profound relationship with every person. So with Jeff, you know, given his depth and his brilliance and his level of surrender, just as a human being and his awakening as a teacher, for us together, we're having the most extraordinary, you know, experience of creativity and love and literally impacting each other's consciousness. And so, and, you know, we're like tracking each other almost all the time. You know, I mean, there's sort of like an inner place where there's a constant level of influence that's occurring. And obviously it's impacting the work that we're doing in a big way and who we attract and the things that happen. So, you know, that's my next, you know, I mean, it's been very profound having that relationship with him. There are people in the group where, you know, there's friendships, there's some business connections, you know, people that are, that want to create consciously. And so there's all different flavors of relatedness, but what's consistent is there's a unleashing of a kind of growth and creativity and love. I would say those three things are what gets unleashed. Mm-hmm. And through the creativity, whatever contribution there is. We had recently a couple who came to one of the very first things that we did, and their marriage was trans. I mean, you could tell, like, and from what they shared, like, there was a level of intimacy and a level of depth and connection that was like they had never experienced before, and it's continued. It's like they went to a different floor in the building and now they're there. You know, I mean, it's being sustained and it's changed their families and, you know, the whole thing. But they know how to turn. The thing is, instead of just like people have that kind of thing happen every once in a while, but then you don't know how to find it again. And you don't have a commitment to sustaining and growing something. And this gives you the tools for that.
Mm-hmm. There's a word you used that I wanted to pick up on because it's one of the aspects of your work that's really fascinated me, and that was the word influence.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we think about influencing each other, we don't always think of that as being a positive thing. We're sort of trained to not let ourselves be too influenced by other people because of that that emphasis on individuality that you were speaking about. We've all grown up trying to not be influenced, trying to be original, trying to have our own ideas about things,
right,
and not allow ourselves to be too influenced by other people. I mean, of course we all are, and we have,
yeah,
you know, and oftentimes we will be very grateful for the influences on our work or mm-hmm. our thinking in certain ways. But it's a word that we have certainly a mixed relationship
right.
to. But in your work, you tend to use that word as in a very positive sense and
right.
see influence as something
right.
to be embraced and worked with. So I was curious if you could say a bit more
yeah.
about that.
Well, it's one of the turning towards is to develop your ability to positively influence and your level of capacity to be influenced. And like you said, the ego goes, okay, you know, this is me, you're over there, I'm over here, you know, I know how I think, you're not influencing how I think, you know. And so it's a higher level of development. So, I mean, you know, if people are still doing really basic, trying to craft out their identity, then this is probably not the kind of relationship mm-hmm. they'd want to enter into. But if you, you know, have that somewhat developed, then same thing, you surrender, and realize that you're always being influenced mm-hmm. and the capacity to inspiringly influence others is what it means to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And to pay attention to how you influence and to the degree that you allow yourself to really have transmission even, you know, and to positively influence the world, you know, even just to take that on is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And also to be humble, you know, to become so sensitive, you know, that you could feel just the slightest airbrush. You know, it's like the slightest, like somebody... I mean, sometimes someone can just look at you with a certain kind of love and appreciation, and it changes you. You know, in that moment, or, you know, you're struggling with some, you know, like often entrepreneurs, you know, struggling with their projects and stuff. And I'm sure you influence people this way, where you go, well, that's really a good idea. You know, you believe in them, and all of a sudden something that they were about to give up on, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that taking that on, learning how to influence and be influenced and be sensitive to it and wake up around it, and that we influence each other, is the greatest gift. That's what you remember. You know, some friend who really made a difference in your life was someone who influenced you. It's not the people that don't. You know, I mean, who cares? Or when you fall in love, you know, so if someone that you love, you know, it's like they really influence you. You know, they have some kind of impact.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they have no impact.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely one of the core pieces that gets worked with.
Mm-hmm. I know that's one of the topics that you're going to be speaking about in the course you're doing, and it's one of the sort of core principles of the way you teach this.
Yeah.
Can you speak a little about some of the other
pieces,
some of the other qualities that you teach and that you look for and help people develop?
Sure. So the influence, we talked about truth, which is huge, you know, since people have also an ambivalent relationship with the truth and how interested they may or may not be in it. So we shift that. We actually create such a vivid, it becomes so compelling to actually give up avoiding the truth, which is huge, because most people are avoiding it on some level. You know, that's where denial comes from. So the truth, and some of the other ones is also commitment, you know, mutual commitment, which is really different. Like when you're developing yourself individually, you learn how to be committed. And most of the time, nobody pays attention to whether or not in a relationship, what are they committed to? I mean, you might be really committed to the relationship and they might be so-so, you know? And so there's not a lot that's going to happen. I mean, you can't create some kind of amazing possibility between you if one person's committed and the other person isn't so much. So we develop, part of what I develop in the mutuality is paying attention to what's happening also with the other. And same thing with groups. I mean, with larger groups, if you're not paying attention to how committed are the people, how interested are they, how willing to be in the truth are they, you're not going to be tracking the space and you're not going to be developing anything beautiful.
Mm.
Yeah.
It seems like that term mutuality is really central. Can you?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a word we don't hear used in that way so much. Can you say a bit more about why that's such a
core? It's mutuality, by that I don't mean like, what do they call it, strategic partnership, you know, where people trade back
mutual
and forth.
Mutual benefit.
Yeah, mutual benefit. That's the opposite of what I'm talking about. It's a recognition, first of all, that you both influence each other. You know, that you actually, to have this level of relatedness, it has to be mutual. And you give up your right to kind of withhold. It's like if you want to be lazy about being related and you want to be like not so truthful or not, you know, you can't do this. You know, then you're in a whole different kind of relationship. And I think people, one of the things that people get in this is they get less tolerant of all that. You know, I mean, there's a certain numbness of a way of relating that we've just think is polite, you know, is polite and acceptable and normal. And when you look at the real results of those kinds of relationships, is they're not alive. No potentials are being maximized. There's nothing really exciting going on. I mean, you're basically just sort of status quo. Everything is staying the same. There's no influence. There's no truth. There's no mutual engagement. You know, I mean, there's just not a lot happening, which is kind of the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so this in a way ruins, you know, being, you know, completely comfortable in just normal human relating everywhere. I mean, you're still okay with it to some degree, but when you start to have more of these kinds of relationships, that's where you end up wanting to give more of your heart and soul. And we even have people in the work that we're doing where they're creating, you know, people want to create companies. I mean, they want to create collaboratives where people actually want to be this way together, mm-hmm. which is, I think, incredibly smart idea.
Mm-hmm. There was an example that you shared with me yesterday that I thought you might share briefly, of somebody in your work who was a nun.
Oh, yeah.
With this. And I thought it was such a beautiful example because we still, when we think about relationships, we tend to gravitate back toward the ones we're used to, our romantic relationships, our marriages, our families.
Yeah.
And this struck me as kind of an out-of-the-box
example. Right, right. Yeah, there's a beautiful woman who's a nun who's in the Evolutionary Collective, and she's very devoted to teaching from an evolutionary standpoint and bringing a new wave of consciousness into the Catholic Church, which I think is formidable. And she was teaching in Peru and doing the kind of practice that I mentioned earlier with the other nuns. And she just said that it was explosive. Do you know what I mean? Like the explosion of love. And also the experience of the demand of love. I mean, part of what this unleashes is that love is demanding. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I want you. You know, I want you fully here. I want everything. I want the best. I want everything you have to give, everything you can contribute to the world. I want your whole heart, you know, unambivalent, full out. And they were experiencing that. And she was just like completely blown away experiencing that with the other sisters. So, you know, I have like high hopes for how this translates mm-hmm. anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We also have another woman who's this, you know, amazing third grade teacher. I mean, I wish she'd been my third grade teacher. I mean, she's just awesome. And she does this to the kids.
Wow.
And they have like, yes, all over their classroom, big yeses, you know, cause it's kind of like this big yes of being related, you know, in this sort of yes, yes. So.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So I think so. Just to complete, since we only have a couple of minutes left, I want to thank you for.
It's been a pleasure.
For everything, for this, but also for helping to give birth to the book.
Well, thank you. And I'm sure some of what we've talked about today will end up in the book.
So
this has been a creative session in itself.
Thank you. I also want to say that I haven't offered an online course for over a year. I think it's been about a year and a half. So I'm very excited. If people go to my website, evolutionarycollective.com, and go to the courses page, it's called Weevolution, and all the information's there. And it'll be a 7-week virtual online course. It's 90-minute sessions on a Wednesday evening starting May 15th. And then there'll be 2 bonus sessions, which will be just coaching and question and answers on 2 Saturdays. So all the information is there. So I'd love, you know, if you're interested and curious about this awakening and consciousness in being related, which, you know, obviously is important, please check it out. And next week, which I'm excited about, Jeff Carrera, who I mentioned before, is going to be hosting a conversation with Carter Phipps, which is Ellen's husband, which is just sort of worked out that way. It's kind of perfect. And the show is called Cooperation Drives Evolution. We've been taught that the process of evolution occurs through competition, survival of the fittest, and is the truism that's been incorporated into our cultural DNA. But unfortunately, competition is not actually what drives evolution. Cooperation does. And in this program, the Evolutionary Collective co-teacher Jeff will be speaking with Carter, who's the author of a wonderful book that I really recommend you check out on Amazon called Evolutionaries: Unlocking the Spiritual and Cultural Potential of Science's Greatest Idea. So they know each other for many years. They're 2 brilliant men, and it'll be a really wonderful, powerful conversation, no doubt. And also, the worldview that, you know, we weren't, you know, didn't have the time to get into, but this evolutionary worldview, which evolutionary relationships are definitely a part of, you know, it's an aspect of the piece that I'm championing, is a part of this larger worldview. And when you start to see what that is, it's empowering of itself, you know, just to know that there's some new way that the existence is beginning to see itself and experience itself is hugely powerful. So I really want to invite you to that. And that's it. Thank you everyone for being here. And then I'll be back speaking with everyone 2 weeks after Jeff does his show. Bye. Thanks.
Thank you for participating in another Evolutionary Collective Conversation with Patricia Albert. For more information about the Evolutionary Collective and evolutionary relationships, please visit our website at www.evolutionarycollective.com. Remember to meet us on the edge every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, because the conversation is infinitely juicier with you in it.